pal, who's that riding?
In the historic K-Don Studios in fabulous Las Vegas, the On the Air light is lit and the John Brislin Show is live.
Tell me who's that riding, John the Revelator. Tell me who's that riding, John the Revelator. Who's that riding? John the Revelator wrote the book of the Seven Seals.
To be on with John, call 702-257-5396. 257-KDWN.
And welcome, America, west of the Rockies, to the Pacific Ocean, north to Canada, Nikunuksi, and south to our friends in Mexico. Welcome, world. Welcome the entire world out there through the World Wide Web and all the states west of the Rockies. Thank you for spending part of your Saturday, November 21st, with me here in this, where I'm broadcasting from, this beautiful town of Las Vegas, my hometown. And I appreciate you spending part of your night with me. I will do you proud. Syria, immigration, and how we look at it. That seems to be what everybody's talking about right now. Except, you know, sometimes the news just disappoints me because they are supposed to be our ongoing educational process. We learn what we learn in school and in formal education for however many years we do it. Then eventually we go through our commencement and we commence our lives. We begin our lives and use that education in order to interpret what is going on around the world. And the media, myself included, I suppose, we're supposed to give you information that you can use to interpret what's going on in your world, decide what is affecting your personal world, your micro world, and then also get the information that helps you understand how your personal world fits in the macro world, the big old blue ball, the blue marble that's out there and that we're all part of, even if it doesn't feel like it sometimes. Well, the information that's out there right now and what we're talking about seems to be, what's the right word? It's limited, I guess, distorted. It seems to be, it's the information, as I've said before, that sells cookies and that sells airplane engines and whatever it is that media is trying to sell. The information is there to support that sales, and it's supposed to be the other way around. Idealistically, and the way God intended, we're supposed to be given pure information, somewhat unbiased, but also some biased, so that we can get the interpretation of events that are too hard for us to understand, like a Syrian refugee crisis or a refugee crisis across Europe, the response to that crisis by Europe against the refugees, or at least toward the refugees. There is a lot of complexities with something like that, with foreign policy in general, even domestic policy and economic policy and all of those things that we trust our leaders to handle for us. There's a lot to understand. We can't understand it all. No single person can understand everything about the human body. That's why there's no one doctor that has every single specialty under his belt. People can't understand all of everything. So we trust journalists. We trust the media. And we trust them to have a certain bias, as much as using that bias as an understanding of context so that they can explain to us what the significance is to us of such a thing as a Syrian refugee crisis or the Mexican immigration crisis. I'm sure a lot of people would call it a crisis. You see what I'm saying? The media is giving us information that maybe isn't quite the whole truth and nothing but the truth. But hey, we know that, so we go into this game knowing what we're dealing with. Well, let me try to give you a little bit more information, a little bit deeper, except it's going to take a certain amount of patience, a certain amount of, not quite C-SPAN, but not quite Sesame Street. I'm going to try to keep it interesting, but also factual and also intellectual and also something for you to think about and talk to anyone else out there that wants to think about things the way you do. So let's think about the Syrian refugees. There are all kinds of concerns that people have around Europe and now in America and Canada and frankly anywhere in the world where refugees are going to. There are concerns, I guess the first one is the national security concern, right? That, terrorists can sneak in, so, we need to stop them all. We need to build a wall. I'm doing some sort of green eggs and ham rhyme right now. But here's a little story. I went to something on Thursday night, which was mind-opening. Mind-opening. And it's called the Anti-Defamation League Gala. It's basically the main meeting of an organization that's a century plus old, and it's an organization that fights against hatred and bigotry. And if we think about it, that's not just a generality. That's a thing that exists in the world, such as hate crimes and hate groups. We know what they are. Well, there are organizations that work against those hate groups, and should the hate groups do anything, then, there are organizations that come to the aid of Homeland Security to fight against those type of racist and hate-centered thinking individuals. Well, I went to this gala for the ADL that I just described, and the honoree, what they call the Americanism Award, is a person by the name of Bob Arum. Bob Arum, you may know, is one of the foremost boxing promoters in the history of boxing. He is a member of the Boxing Hall of Fame, the International Hall of Fame, promoted such people as Muhammad Ali and such. He, in giving his speech, he was discussing how it is that nations, how cultures, how societies can embrace. I'm paraphrasing here, but what I took from his speech is that we can act in a hateful way toward people, and we aren't really that concerned about it. You got to think about that for a second. We act in a hateful way toward people such as, and he said, immigrants that are coming into this country. He didn't specify any particular country, but he said, think about it for a second. How are you going to say it is the righteous, even the American thing to do to take 13 million people and push them back across the border and say, get out, go back to wherever you came from? Now, I am not saying that I like the idea of illegal immigration, but what I'm saying is unless we want to fix it, when there is a fix and we don't try to fix it, we don't put the fix in place, then we are guilty of a little bit of something. They are guilty as well, anyone coming into the country illegally. But we have to be careful how we approach it, because we can come from an emotional point of our psyche, our brain, rather than a logical point. We can come at it with hatred, anger, jealousy. Xenophobia is the most scientific word that I can think of for it. And basically what I'm saying is we can hate people who don't look like us. We have a history with this, and we should be very careful how we move forward. We, as mankind, we look at people who are of other beliefs, at other physical appearances, at other anything. And if they are not like us, then we want to push them back because we don't trust them. We don't know if they are like us and whether they will hurt us. It is a human instinct. But as coming together and evolving as people, we're supposed to know that we don't use hatred. We don't hate someone. that doesn't have our ideas. And here's one of the takeaways. Get your pencil ready. It might seem like the same thing to say, my ideas are right. I know they are. So that means your ideas are wrong. I know they are. That might seem to be the same as this statement. This is what I believe 100%, and I am not going to change what I believe. I know this to be true. What you believe is what you believe. What you want to do is what you want to do because you've decided that's good for you, the same way I've decided that this particular XYZ is good for me. Those two statements may sound the same, but they're not. One is of hatred. One is of understanding and acceptance. And by the way, understanding and acceptance and middle ground is what the Constitution was based on. That is what the founding fathers came together and magically produced a document that gave us a middle ground, an arena that we all came to the middle ground and could find a way, find those nuggets of agreement that allowed us to live together without cutting each other's heads off, which, by the way, it had never been done before in man's history. The middle ground, the understanding of other people's ideas and accepting that I don't want any part of them, but I'm not going to tell other people not to think it. So there is the basis of many hatreds. And now we turn towards Syrian refugees, Asian refugees, any immigrants that are coming into this country. And we have to ask ourselves, are we a country that is willing to accept those coming into this country? Let's just focus on Syria for a second. There are people in the world that are victims of tsunamis. America has probably been the most helpful and generous of any society, of any country, to help people of tsunamis and earthquakes and devastating natural disasters. Well, what happens when those disasters are not natural? What happens when they are man-made? Do we really look back at Rwanda and say, we did the right thing? Bill Clinton doesn't look back at Rwanda and say he did the right thing. 400,000 people are being butchered. Mothers being butchered in front of their children. And we stand by and do nothing about it. We're better than that. We cannot say that we are Americans and that we believe in American exceptionalism and then go back about our lives without behaving exceptionally. We have got to step in and help from time to time. And by the way, that is why we have the strength we have the rest of the year, the rest of the time, because people know that we are a force to be reckoned with for good as well as for, you know, combat. There's a lot to talk about, and I want to dig into exactly what it means that refugees are being brought here and they aren't, whether they are or they aren't. This is the John Breslin Show. We're going to get deep and fun tonight. Stay with me.
John Breslin, making caffeine addiction look good.
Listen live or archive on www.johnbrislinshow.com.
Veterans, did you know if you've had service-related disability claims that were denied or rated too low, you can have your cases reopened and appeal VA decisions with a VA-accredited attorney representative for a flat contingency fee of 20% of the back benefits recovered? Attorney Christopher Dort is ready to go to work for you to get you what you deserve. No win and you pay nothing on claims appeals. Pro bono free help is available to start an original VA disability claim. California State Bar 1968-32. Christopher Dort is a fighter for veterans. Just go to veteransbenefitsrep.com.
Last night, Donald Trump said Ben Carson is wrong about the Egyptian pyramids being used to store grain because the pyramids are solid. And that, ladies and gentlemen, perfectly sums up the Republican presidential race.
If Putin wants to go in, and I got to know him very well because we were both on 60 Minutes. We were stablemates, and we did very well that night.
Trump is so cute. He thinks he's friends with Putin because they were on a show together. Well, now, technically, Trump and Putin did appear on the same episode of 60 Minutes in two completely unrelated segments that were shot in different cities. In different countries, on different continents.
Online polls show Donald Trump is still in the lead, but critics say the poll is unscientific. Because even science can't explain how Donald Trump is still in the lead.
John Brislin. To be on with John, call 702-257-5396. 257-KDWN.
Listen live or archive on www.johnbrislinshow.com.
If you're in business, you need a website. But what good is that website if it doesn't have visitors? That's where Online Business 360 comes in. Online Business 360 will not just bring visitors to your website, we will deliver customers to your site. Online Business 360 is a data-driven internet marketing agency. Our specialty is in the creation and delivery of high-performance campaigns for any type of business, large or small. We are a Google partner, so we will customize a strategy using paid search, search engine optimization, social media, web analytics, and competitive analysis to drive more leads, customers, and revenue to you and your business. Go to onlinebusiness360.net. That's the number 360, onlinebusiness360.net. Or call us toll-free, 877-864-3360, for a free analysis of your website and marketing strategy. Online Business 360. We deliver results, not promises. Onlinebusiness360.net.
If you want to get a gift for any child and you want to get the best gift at the party, go to eBeanstalk.com. They're one of the original internet providers for toys, and they've been around since 2005. They have child experts that select their toys, so it's not all the plastic characters and cheap stuff that breaks easily and has no learning value. If you want your kid to dominate the world, give them the gift of learning. It's your best investment. It's better than giving money or stocks and bonds. Go to eBeanstalk.com. That's eBeanstalk.com. From fun outdoor zip lines to glow-in-the-dark footballs to arts and crafts at home, eBeanstalk.com. That's eBeanstalk.com.
John Brislin. To be on with John, call 702-257-5396. 257-KDWN.
And welcome back to the John Brislin Show. The phone number to be on with John is 702-257-5396. And speaking of phone numbers, let's go straight to the phone calls, and we'll start in San Diego. Jack, you are on with John. Welcome, my friend.
Well, when you look at this crisis with the Syrian refugees, you have to look at it from a perspective of what your goal is. And if your goal is to win the war against ISIS, then you have to look at what we did in World War II, because that's the last time the United States won a war. And while we were bombing cities in Germany and Japan, we weren't taking in refugees. They weren't allowed to immigrate here from Germany and Japan. They couldn't get a visa. They couldn't get a student visa, a travel visa, a tourist visa, none of those things. And we won that war. And we won it in a relatively short period of time, a major world war in less than 4 years.
Right.
The war on terror has been going on for 14 years, and we're trying to win this war and be politically correct at the same time. And look what's happened. The war on terror is a complete disaster. There's more terrorists now by far, by by 1,000-fold over how many terrorists there were after 9/11. You have ISIS is in control of parts of Iraq and Syria and Libya, and they call themselves the Islamic State. They've formed a caliphate, and they've already infiltrated all throughout Europe, Canada, Australia. They're here in the United States, and the easiest way for them to get here is foreign fighters. They're recruiting over the internet, and a lot of these guys have fought with ISIS, and they've come back to the United States, and they've come back to Germany and Belgium and France. And if they want to, they could probably get a tourist visa or a student visa. Remember, all most of the hijackers of 9/11 had student visas.
Yeah.
So there is no, you know, when you get a student visa or a tourist visa, they don't do a background check. They don't even do a fingerprint. There's so much we have to do. Look, we've never protected our border since 9/11. If you wanted to seriously have a war on terror, wouldn't the day after 9/11 you'd start securing the border, both the Canadian border and the Mexican border?
Well, here's the thing, Jack. You bring up a fantastic group of points, and I would address them maybe this way. That do you remember? Actually, one of the things that put Richard Nixon on the map back in the early part of the 20th century, a thing called a Red Scare. It was the fear that the Russian communists were going to be taking over the United States. And it had to do with, something similar to the McCarthy era, kind of a Red Scare 2.0. And, you know, we responded in a very defensive, protectionist response, and we did some things that we are not so proud of looking back historically. And I guess what I would say to you, although, because first of all, I have to acknowledge that it's a very good point that we didn't take people in during World War II when, you know, there were plenty of people around the world that were basically civilians being bombed by us, because that's what you do in a war. And they maybe wanted to come here, or who knows. And it's a good point that we didn't do that. But my question is, if you look at the Red Scare and the McCarthy era and the Cold War overall, and compare it to the protracted war that it was and the protracted war that we have now going with the war on terror, we are essentially looking at a 500 years war. So does that mean, you know, if we say war on terror, anybody that uses something that pops, something that blows up, then they're part of the war on terror? We would basically be saying that we no longer want to accept anybody into our house, anywhere, anybody into our country that we don't already know. And that's just not what we do. It's when we're going through a time of crisis like this, I understand what you're saying. And again, I acknowledge that it's a very solid point.
Well,
in World War II, that we didn't accept anybody. But if we're going to say, well, now, because of terrorism, the existence of terrorism, which is a very vague thing if you really think it through, we are now going to change everything we do in our life as far as letting someone in the country and let no one in the country. In fact, why don't we just go all the way and say we're not going to go shopping because we might get blown up. We're not going to drive our cars because there might be a car bomb. We're not going to talk to anybody because they may be a spy.
You know, that's what they're doing in Belgium. They're in lockdown right now.
Yeah, well,
yeah, we're almost being ruled by fear.
That's what I'm talking about.
Let me just answer your question real quick.
Yes.
And
you got 45 seconds, but they're all yours, my friend.
All right. It's this. You brought up a good point earlier that we seem to be perpetually at war. And mankind has always been at war with each other. It seems like every year there's a war somewhere. And I think at some point, maybe man will evolve to the point where we have a one-world government, and then you don't have anybody to go to war with. But right now, we're still divided up into nation states, which is just an extension of the tribal system, and we just can't get along. And that's the bottom line. And maybe someday we'll evolve so that we do get along, and at that point you'll have to have a one-world government.
Well, there's a lot of possibilities out there, and it's interesting to see which one is the best, the closest to reality. But the reality is I've got to take a quick break. I appreciate the call. Jack, you be safe in San Diego.
Right,
this is
you.
The John Breslin Show, and I will be right back. Stay right where you are, you.
You want to feel connected, informed, included, inspired. So when important things happen, we're here. Your local radio and TV broadcasters. America's number one source for news, weather, and information on your radio, TV, computer, tablet, and smartphone. We are broadcasters. Always here for you, wherever here may be. Tell Washington local stations matter by texting radio to 52886. Furnished by NAB and this station, message and data rates may apply.
Jeb Bush said in a new interview that while it could have a dangerous effect on everything else, he would go back in time and kill Hitler as a child. While Ben Carson is saying he did.
If you could go back in time and kill baby Hitler, would you?
Hell yeah, I would.
Look at those evil little cheeks. Who's the greatest monster of the 20th century? You are! Uncle Jeb's got something for you. Stabby, stab, stab.
I think that's the most energy Jeb Bush has ever shown, and it was for murdering a baby.
According to Politico, the new most searched for phrase associated with Jeb Bush is Jeb Bush still running for president? Even worse, it's the most searched for phrase on Jeb Bush's computer.
The only person who Googled Jeb Bush last night was his mother, Barbara, and that was because even she forgot who he was for a minute.
John Breslin. To be on with John, call 702-257-5396. 257-KDWN.
Tell me who's the lady. Johnny Love the lady. Tell me who's the lady. Johnny Love the lady. Who's the lady?
Be embarrassed about singing along with that song. God, that kind of song digs down into your soul and just makes you feel a little bit better. Speaking of things that make me feel a little bit better, phone lines blinking like a Christmas tree. That's what I like to see. Thank you, everyone, for being patient. And we will start rolling through that line right about now. Let's go first to line two, World Citizen, Bay Area, San Francisco. You are on with John.
Thanks for letting me on. John, how you doing?
Doing great, my friend. What's the good word?
Well, I'm all right. First of all, let me ask you, Fran Sullivan, what's his status? Is he ever going to come back? Or he hasn't been on for like a month.
I have no idea.
Well, if he doesn't come back, you need to consider taking his time. A couple hours there.
You know what? The base point there is that I do need more time. You're absolutely right. And your mouth to God's ears. I don't know if I have more time to give, or the station wants that, or I don't know. We'll see what comes in the new year.
You know, play some musical chairs with the programming there. You might be able to put those 2 hours next and make a 3-hour program out of it.
The world needs my pearls of wisdom, no doubt. My revelations.
On Saturday night, they sure do. But
what are your revelations, my friend?
Well, I'll tell you, I listened to Barack Obama the other day, and he says, well, it sounds like we got a bunch of... He was talking right at the Republicans, too. He goes, we got a bunch of people out there that seem to be afraid of women and children. You know, I look at these photos on TV. I don't see too many women and children, a whole lot of men. And I'm thinking, well, all right, Barack Obama, let's just take the women and the children. What's wrong with that, John?
Well, it's a lot of things. One is... Well, let's see, where do I start? One is it's a... It's a twisted rhetoric. It's a distorted truth that's coming out of Barack Obama's mouth. He understands that that statement is not real, but it'll be heard by people as something that's an entirely different message. In other words, it's crap. And no, we can't just take women and children. Are it's a nation of people afraid of women and children? You know what? We're compassionate to women and children, but there's also a security issue. However, as Bob Arum, when I said earlier in the show, I went to the Anti-Defamation League's award gala, and Bob Arum said that a very solid point that of all people everywhere, you cannot take a class of people and say, well, look, the Bugsy Siegel came out of Las Vegas, and so clearly Las Vegas is just full of a bunch of people who are criminals and mob related. No, we're not. Yes, have there been mob figures here? Yes, but out of 2 million people, how many are actually mob figures? So you can't take the 2 million people and just throw them away.
But Bugsy Siegel's not a good analogy, man, because he was Bugsy Siegel before he got to Vegas.
What I'm trying to do is draw a picture of something that one person pollutes an entire population and makes it. I'm trying to pick a person that everyone understands.
Look at it this way, John. What's it going to take to deport one of these people? And what all's involved? What question do they have to answer the wrong way in order to get deported? And who are they going to do a background check with? There ain't no police chief of some town that they came from, some church to check with on their background and all that. If we deport them, where are they going?
Well, lots of questions about it, no doubt. But I've got to move on.
All right, thank you, Joe.
I appreciate it, my friend. Let's go to line two. And JD, we've got a limited amount of time, but you are on with John. It's all yours, my friend.
Thanks. Obama's made this a political situation, and it's not. It's a security situation. Saudi Arabia is 869 miles from Syria. How many have they taken? How many have any of the Arab countries, the Muslim countries, taken? It's going to cost us $64,000 per refugee for up to 5 years. There's no jobs here. We don't have any money. If we use a credit card, they'd cut it up in half. We have 50,000 vets that are homeless. I'd rather spend the money on vets and keep them in Saudi Arabia or a Muslim country and help them over there, not bring them here. It's a ridiculous argument to bring those people here.
Okay, hold on. Given the limited amount of time, let me address what you've said. JD, hold on 1 second. Okay, one, the $64,000 figure and figures like it, that's I've heard even a little bit higher. The thing is, it's a false number because it's assuming that there is absolutely no economic benefit to this country by bringing them here. And that, economically speaking, is an impossibility. That's not how this country has ever worked. History has never shown that to be true. Now,
they don't have any jobs for them, John.
Yes, we absolutely do.
How are they going to earn a living?
Okay. There are absolutely jobs here, and this country has been growing. Unless we're going to close up shop, there are jobs here.
We have 94 million people out of the workforce.
Yes. Okay. Okay, is that the way it's going to stay for always? Here's what we can do. Why don't we just take half of the people that are already here and deport them?
How are we going to support these people?
We're not going to support these people.
We bring them here. They got no jobs. They got no homes. They got no apartments. They need medical. They need clothes.
Let me put this out there. What do you say when I say I believe that you hate immigrants?
I think you're reaching for a straw.
I'm telling you what I think. You're basically telling me the people who are having bombs, grenades, death around their family at all times, we are not going to help them. I believe that you hate immigrants so bad that the people in Rwanda, you would have let them get hacked up. You do not care about anybody except the people in your backyard. You know what? If they're not Americans, then screw them. If it's over there, we don't care. That is your opinion. And you know what? You can keep your opinion wherever you want to keep it. But I have a couple suggestions if you really want it. Hang up this phone. So that was fun. Now, let's talk to Monterey Dave on the John Breslin Show. Monterey Dave, welcome to the John Breslin Show.
Good evening. Voice of reason in the night.
What's the good word? I only have a limited amount of time.
Well, shout out to the World Citizen. I thought someone else was using his handle. He's a friend of mine, and he should take over the extra time slot. But anyway,
I was just saying I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I think that we should put quotas on them, and that way we take the 10% of the most needy of the Syrian refugees and apportion them across the world in a world body. This is clearly an issue that's got to be addressed at a world forum. why doesn't the UN set up a task force that apportions these refugees, and we take 10% of the least risky, since we are at war with them, and then apportion the 60% most risky back to the Middle East in those countries like Salem and Saudi Arabia?
That actually is not something that has been publicized very much, but that is what's going on right now. Italy has taken, Spain has taken, France obviously has taken, and Great Britain.
What about UAE? What about Qatar? What about the Saudi Arabia? Why can't they settle them?
Well, so far they have not, and that is one of the conflicts that is going on, as a matter of fact. And what the solution is to that, I don't really know. But that's something that's outside the scope of tonight's conversation. That's why I need 3 hours. Anyway.
Well, that's exactly right. And
Dave, I've got to leave it there, my friend.
Among the mob shouting.
What's that?
Thanks for your voice of reason among the mob shouting.
That's very kind, sir. That lifts my heart a little bit, and especially in a moment where it feels good. Thank you, Monterey Dave. And let's go to Calvin in Las Vegas. You've got about 30 seconds, but they are yours. You are on with John.
I'm just so sick of people bringing up Obama. I don't care who the president is. We need to secure our country. Because number one, no matter who comes over, if we don't secure it.
So build a wall, huh?
No. I'm not saying build a wall. I mean just secure our country. Make sure we know who's coming in. That's it. And I don't care if they all come in as long as they're secure and we know who they are. That's it.
Okay, I'll give you that. That's if you know what they can come in, but we need to document. You're saying that we need to know. We need to be able to know who they are and have a little bit of background and track them.
A problem will come over. This is America, but the problem is they keep blaming Obama. People got killed when Bush was the president. People been getting killed no matter what. But the fact of the matter is, stop blaming Obama. Let's do what we're supposed to do. We're Americans. We're supposed to help people.
All right. As long as
we know who they are.
Calvin, I respect your opinion, and using the simple, his jersey is blue and mine is red, and that's why I'm going to disagree with everything a man says, that is something that is very, very poor thinking. And
they disagree with Obama since he's been in the White House. I mean, even the good things he's done, and they keep saying no matter what he does, they're not going to agree with him. So, you know what, if you're anti-anything good people do, then you're not even American anyway.
And that is why we need to think our ideas are our ideas and somebody else's are theirs, and it's okay to have both. I'm not right and you're wrong. We just have different ideas, right?
Exactly. And I agree with that 100%.
Well, sir, it is a pleasure to talk to people like you, and I hope I get a chance to do it again in the future. You call back in, okay?
All right. Take care.
Thank you, Calvin. All right. Now we are going to move on to our guest of the night. His name is Robert Rumble. He is an author and an experienced teacher in places around the world, such as China. And he has been in China teaching, and it is a surprising experience that I am happy to have him here and share with me and you and all of us here tonight. Robert Rumble, welcome to the John Breslin Show.
Thank you, John. It's good to be back.
Well, you know, last time we talked about the experience that people have as far as teaching in general and whether or not, you know, let's just jump to what we're talking about tonight. It's a lot about immigration and how we feel about people in other countries and whether or not we want to help them or what happens when they come here. What has been your experience with the American reaction to Chinese people here that you have been working with? And what is the Chinese reaction to Americans, such as when you went to China? Do they have so much of a pushback as we do?
When I went to China, they were actually welcomed me with open arms. So I went over there to teach English, and that's what they want. They want English teachers. They need English teachers. And so I would go on some of these tours, and I was treated like a celebrity. People coming up asking me for my picture, coming up to me while I'm eating, asked me if they could talk to me in English for a little bit, just so they can practice. So going over there, it was really eye-opening in that they did welcome me with open arms. I was really surprised at that. It changed my whole paradigm of what I thought about China and the people of China.
You know, what do you think, I mean, when you were teaching over there, if you have people around you that are so concerned about learning a second language, as most countries in the world are, what would it take, in your opinion, to get us to a point where we are more interested in learning a second language? I mean, is there a key? Have you, in your experience, have you seen, well, if this changed, we as Americans would be more interested in learning a second language and then maybe even more understanding of countries not our own?
I think we're going to have to change that and actually get interested in learning a second language because of travel and the internet and all the world getting smaller. I remember when I first applying for jobs, resumes or applications did not ask you what language you spoke.
Right.
Now you look at your applications and they have a list there of what languages do you speak. And I think it's going to come down to the future employee will need to be able to converse in multiple languages to even have a shot at getting the better jobs.
Right. We are more of an international world, yeah. I suppose you're saying. And it's not to say that we're not Americans, but just we are interacting with countries around the world. Now, what are the techniques, you know, how do you take someone from, you know, not really knowing much other than, okay, I think I'd like to learn another language. How do you take them from that to really being willing to dive into and immerse themselves in something as complicated as Chinese? Or the reverse, how do you take someone who is the same profile in China that has to immerse themselves in English? How do you do such a thing? How do you get people to learn another language?
Well, in China, it's pretty easy because the parents encourage them to learn multiple languages or at least English very early on. And so you've got that push going toward with them, and they teach English in school more than they teach actually Chinese in their classes, at least the ones I went to. And a lot of students, like my English students, was extra. You know, that was an extra English class that they took.
Right.
Because they realized that, I think part of it is China and the United States have kind of a symbiotic relationship. And so they...
Culturally or economically?
Economically.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So they kind of pushed them to learn the English and taught to them they need to learn English starting at a very young age.
That was pushed by the parents.
Old. Yes, pushed by the parent. To learn English.
Can I interrupt you before you go into your story about the 4-year-olds? Please don't forget what you're saying, but Denise has given me the eye and I'm up against a break. Can you stay on through the break?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Now we are talking with author Robert Rumble on the John Brislin Show. We're going to take a quick moment to go through some comedy and commercials, and we'll be back as soon as possible. Stay right where you are. You a lot coming back.
John Brislin, polite conversation avoids politics and religion. Embrace bad manners.
John Brislin. To be on with John, call 702-257-5396. 257-KDWN.
Veterans, did you know if you've had service-related disability claims that were denied or rated too low, you can have your cases reopened and appeal VA decisions with a VA-accredited attorney representative for a flat contingency fee of 20% of the back benefits recovered? Attorney Christopher Dort is ready to go to work for you to get you what you deserve. No win and you pay nothing on claims appeals. Pro bono free help is available to start an original VA disability claim. California State Bar 1968-32, Christopher Dort is a fighter for veterans. Just go to veteransbenefitsrep.com.
And a Republican donor is now formally backing Florida Senator Marco Rubio with a new super PAC named Baby Got PAC.
Really? Baby Got PAC? As real professional, guys. Which begs the question, what names didn't you use? I like big bucks and I cannot lie.
Ben Carson getting a lot of attention. First, Ben Carson said he attacked his mother with a hammer. Now Ben Carson's mother is saying she's the one who attacked Ben with a hammer. They need to hammer this out is what they have to do. Folks, my dad sent that in at the last minute.
An early copy of the New York Times bestseller list obtained by BuzzFeed shows Ben Carson's A More Perfect Union is edging out Donald Trump's Crippled America. And a little further down the list is Jeb Bush's I Don't Want to Do This Anymore.
And sometimes we are very lucky here on the John Breslin Show to get the finest of Las Vegas Comedy Club humor. And tonight, our special guest is my 8-year-old daughter, which soon will be in the comedy clubs, I am sure. But the joke tonight is, take it away, Hannah.
What kind of key can't open a door?
You know, this has been something that has bothered me my entire life. What kind of key can't open the door?
A turkey.
Oh, just in time for Thanksgiving, the turkey. All right, now, do we get a bonus? Do we get a bonus, a riddle?
Yes, you do.
Awesome. Let's hear it.
In a one-story pink house, there's a pink person, a pink cat, a pink fish, a pink computer, a pink chair, a pink table, a pink telephone, a pink shower. Everything was pink.
Everything is pink.
What color was the stairs?
Ooh, the riddle. And from the look on your face, I can tell that we're going to have to wait to the end of the show to get the answer. All right. Well, that is the kind of teaser you get on the John Breslin Show. Only right here on the John Breslin Show. Stay right where you are, you.
Listen live or archive on www.johnbreslinshow.com.
If you're in business, you need a website. But what good is that website if it doesn't have visitors? That's where Online Business 360 comes in. Online Business 360 will not just bring visitors to your website, we will deliver customers to your site. Online Business 360 is a data-driven internet marketing agency. Our specialty is in the creation and delivery of high-performance campaigns for any type of business, large or small. We are a Google partner, so we will customize a strategy using paid search, search engine optimization, social media, media, web analytics, and competitive analysis to drive more leads, customers, and revenue to you and your business. Go to onlinebusiness360.net. That's the number 360, onlinebusiness360.net, or call it.
And welcome back to the John Breslin Show. We are speaking with author Robert Rumble. And thank you for staying with me, Mr. Rumble. And the story you were talking about just before we took the break was about a 4-year-old.
Yes. The youngest students that I had in my class in China, or in my school, were right around 4 years old. And their English was actually pretty good for being that age.
Was it just from your class, or was it spoken at home?
Some of it was spoken at home, but not much. A lot of times the parents don't speak a lot of English, but they find other ways to teach English. They get the English books. They hire tutors. They send them to English schools, like the ones I worked at. So they're very big at teaching them English because they understand that that's going to give them a jump up in the job market. When now, they get ready for it.
Now, speaking of the books, how do people get your book? And what's the name of your book?
My book is Work Abroad China, 22 Secrets of Teaching English in China Without Knowing Chinese. You can find it at workabroadchina.com. And if you go to workabroadchina.com/JBS, there's a 35% discount. On ordering the ebook there.
Oh, nice. Everybody loves a sale, and I bet you the JBS stands for John Breslin Show. Am I right?
You got it.
Oh, look at that. Special discount for the listeners of the John Breslin Show. Well,
that's right.
And what's the name of the book again?
Work Abroad China.
And you need no knowledge of Chinese to go do it.
I went over there, it was 3.5 years, and I still don't know that much Chinese.
That's awesome. Author Robert Rumble, thank you very much for being a guest on the John Breslin Show tonight. It has been a pleasure, my friend. Hopefully we'll be able to do it again soon.
Oh, I hope so. It was my pleasure being here.
Thank you, sir. All right. Well, we have had a high speed and sometimes overdrive speed parts of the show today, and it has been very interesting over some topics that are very, very important. But to leave on a light note, on a high note, let's go to the comedy and riddle pleasures. I can't think of the right stylings is the word. That's what I was looking for. Of our Hannah Brislin in studio right now. And the answer to the riddle, let's hear that riddle again.
In a one-story pink house, there was a pink person, a pink cat, a pink fish, a pink computer, a pink chair, a pink table, a pink telephone, a pink shower. Everything was pink. What color were the stairs?
All right, here's the answer. What color were the stairs?
There weren't any stairs. It was a one-story
house. Oh, those kind of things kill me. All right, we're going to have to leave it there and come back to the comedies, the comedy portion of it in the next show. But this is where I want to remind Hannah and Denise Marmeyer, the face on the other side of the glass, and everyone listening to the dulcet tones of my voice, that America is advanced citizenship. You have got to want it bad because it will put up a fight, and I will be here fighting for it with you every Saturday night on the John Brislin Show. JohnBrislinShow.com, Facebook, Twitter, and all the good stuff. Good night, America, wherever you are.
I just got rid of this
and wrote the book of Seven Seals.